Hello, extempers, speech and debaters, and everybody else watching. Welcome back to the half hour. My name is Spencer, with my good old co-host Yu here to the left of me, but really in a different city, in a different state. And today, we're going to be talking about the bad man himself, Elon Musk. Because this was what everybody voted on Twitter, and more specifically Instagram, not on Twitter. Hey, but you can follow us on Twitter, just don't give us the blue check mark. We're not interested in paying anything. But yeah, today we're going to be talking about Elon Musk buying Twitter for a lot of money. More money than you and I have combined by about, what would that be? A lot? It's not close. And yeah, we're going to talk about business. I don't think we've talked a lot about business on the half hour before. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about business. We're going to talk a little bit about ideas behind business. We're going to talk about science and technology because that's kind of the theme and where this would fall if you were talking about extemp. It's a science and technology pod today. I mean, you don't really have a business category, you have an econ category. Besides the rambling points, today we're talking about Elon Musk buying Twitter. If you guys are new to this podcast, how this works is we start with just a little bit of housekeeping, and then we go into the discussion of background, starting with me, and then we'll go to Yu. Then we'll talk about some possible questions. We actually have a pretty okay one today. I think we're both like, you know, it could be worse. And then the show will end. Yu will give this outro. It'll be phenomenal. Everybody will like the video because of it. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Don't give us the blue check mark on Twitter. There are some other things that will be discussed and that can be discussed with this video, but for reasons on YouTube and reasons we can't talk about those things, it will just link them as additional sources on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So we'll keep discussion of those away from this episode. Anyway, enough rambling. Yu, how are you?
You really took away my thunder there by introducing me. But yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I think Elon Musk will be an interesting experience to both talk about. It's been an interesting experience to research. There's definitely like a lot of things behind the scenes that I'm sure people haven't looked too much into, but I think like it is definitely worth a glance. And from what I'm going to discuss in my section of this podcast, like you should definitely do more research into it because there is more tea and it's more dramatic. And so you should definitely get more information on all of the things that is going on with Elon Musk and Twitter. That's all I have to say.
I actually do think this is a relatively interesting topic. And it's not because like some billionaire buys business. I mean, like that happens all the time, but like it's particularly because it's Twitter. And I think that's what makes this topic really interesting because there is a lot about Twitter that we can talk about today. So yeah, we'll have a fun-filled, exciting episode for everybody. We're going right into it today. You ready? I'm ready. So, in late October 2022, Twitter closed a deal with Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk. The deal was certainly a controversy worth discussing, and the future of Twitter will definitely be in the discussions. This decision was confirmed through a filing with the SEC, which, if you don't know, is the Securities and Exchange Commission, which delisted Twitter from the New York Stock Exchange. The deal between Musk and Twitter was rather complicated, so this is just fast summary with Spence. Hey, Musk originally planned on buying Twitter in April for $44 billion. In May, Musk tried to back out of the deal because he changed his mind. Twitter prepared to sue Musk. Then Musk changed his mind again in early October, probably because he didn't want to be sued, through a letter to the SEC which confirmed his commitment to the deal. Now, the $44 billion takeover is complete. While questions still remain about what Musk plans to do with Twitter in the future, I personally do have some pretty bold predictions about what will happen. However, I will save a lot of my other bold predictions, and I will make a bold prediction that actually makes a lot of sense. If you really think about why Musk was interested in buying Twitter in the first place, it'll make complete sense as to why and where Twitter is probably going. The biggest thing that Musk wants to do with Twitter is to turn it into a new sort of financial institution. It's not like Twitter Bank, but it's like an online, it would be an online banking platform, maybe similar to that of PayPal. Why? Well, it all sort of starts to make sense when you hear him talking about cryptocurrencies and blockchain. He's always been interested in moving and how cryptocurrencies work and how you can exchange assets online. However, it's also worth noting that he was a co-founder of what's called X.com, which is an online banking platform before it merged with PayPal. And this starts to make even more sense. He originally had an online banking institution. It turned into what many of us use as PayPal today. And it still sparks his interest of doing something with online banking. Also, if you think about why he wants people to pay for their blue check mark they have on Twitter, it makes a lot more sense too. So the idea behind this would be to populate a balance for Twitter users. And that would be like a checking balance or savings balance of some essence. In essence, every Twitter user would have a balance on them that would act like a bank account. First and foremost, this is overly complex and expensive. And because of how complicated it is, I may not get everything right here. Research it more. It is really important to note that there are a few ways to make this really simple, though. If Twitter users have a positive account, which means they have money that's in their Twitter account, per se, then their interest rates would technically be higher. Okay? If Twitter users have a negative account, then their interest rates would likely to be lower. And this essentially creates an incentive for a loan system, which is something that reports say Musk is somewhat interested in pursuing with Twitter. Now, I don't have this in my notes, but this makes a lot of sense when you think about the blue check mark, right? He wants you to pay like $8 for a blue check mark. He wants you to do that because it creates a account for you on Twitter. Okay. And this essentially would allow you to transfer money between different users, not only just between the company, but you can do it with different users. So if somebody on Twitter, if you owe somebody $10, then you can essentially send them over 10 other dollars, right? It would work and function as some kind of online payment system or online banking platform. So populating an account allows users to function with Twitter a little bit better. And why? Because the big idea here is Musk sees relatively no difference between sending a message and sending a payment. And in this online world, Musk is kind of right. There really isn't too much of a difference between doing both of them. It's pretty easy to send a message, and nowadays it's becoming a lot easier to send a payment online. It will be really interesting to see how he does this, considering that he is, as Yu is going to talk about here in a moment, cutting a lot of his staff, because this will require a significant amount of development. In this vision and discussion, Musk sees that Twitter can be used as an online payment platform. And if you connect the dots of Musk's interest in crypto, old online banking initiatives, and paying for a blue check mark, it really makes a lot of sense that Musk's vision is, in fact, to make Twitter a platform for paying other people, paying Twitter, and really kind of starting what would be just a new version of an online bank account. And once again, this is also not mentioned in my notes here, but Twitter has been in the discussion for a long time. I at least think since last year about it being a very good website to exchange digital assets, which may be even further in the future. So it may be like, I don't know if Twitter coin ends up being a thing, but essentially you get into this realm of, it's really easy to pay on Twitter. And I think it's because of the way it's designed. It's the design of Twitter makes it really easy to pay other people to transfer money. It really is kind of a clever concept. If Twitter is really built for it, then it makes a lot of sense why Elon Musk kind of went after it. So it'll be really interesting to kind of see where Musk goes with this. I think that Twitter is kind of a fun platform to try it with. We'll see if that $44 billion pays off, because that's going to be the real question. I did see a quote. I don't know if I'll find it again, but I did see a quote that he was saying that he wasn't really interested in buying Twitter to make money. He was more so interested in buying Twitter as a means to really benefit some interests and benefit the community. So we'll see kind of where that goes with that. And Yuyu, it's really interesting. Like, the technology behind Twitter is actually kind of fascinating. I encourage people to kind of research it more, because the development of Twitter is really unique. It is very different from the other social media platforms that we normally talk about in like Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. I think lots of ideas being bounced around, but mainly the idea of kind of creating a way for Twitter to be, in a sense, a banking system is very interesting. I think there are a lot of things that need to be considered prior to kind of like heading towards that transition that Elon Musk has just not considered yet. I think, like, despite Twitter being able to function as a way for that to happen, the kind of like intent of why people use Twitter, kind of the functionality of all, is quite different from like what you would use between a social media platform versus like a banking platform. This is why I'm not like going on Venmo and telling everyone what I'm doing with the money that I have. Venmo for me is a way to kind of like make transactions with the people that I need to make transactions with, and not conversing with people that I want to like have a conversation with. But other people perceive things differently. We'll get into that later. But let's head into what decisions he has actually been making on Twitter and how that has impacted both his fan base and like people's perception of what Twitter is going to be like, and how Elon Musk is going to change the future of Twitter. So it's probably good to discuss like what Elon Musk wants to incorporate or change about Twitter first, so we can get a better sense of what plans, if any, he has for the future. So he discussed publicly about plans to incorporate direct payment through messaging as something he wanted to incorporate on the platform, which is something that was just discussed in his section. But again, like with his interest in blockchain and Bitcoin, it makes sense that he wants to create this sort of PayPal-esque vibe, but on Twitter. Other things that he's mentioned is incorporating TikTok and YouTube Shorts aspects on Twitter, but in a way where creators can monetize their content. There's even been discussions of the model where they would pay you 10% more than what YouTube and TikTok would pay you if you were to put your content on Twitter and Twitter exclusively, which is also another interesting model that people have been talking about. But as we all know, he's also set up the model of having to pay for the verification status on Twitter. Initially, it was without needing to verify who you are, or like who you claim to be. But we'll get more into how that kind of like filled out later in this section. But now that you know how the deal was closed, let's take a look at what's been happening post-Twitter deal. As you can imagine, everything that's been happening on Twitter or revealed to be happening hasn't been the best publicity for Twitter or for Musk. We can start with his decision to start laying off 50% of the company's employees, including executives. Besides being fired, there have also been resignations from executives as well and other people part of the Twitter team. the big name people that he has fired are Chief Executive Parag Agrawal and Chief Financial Officer Ned Segal. They've been with the company for quite a while and they know how the company runs. So firing them was a really interesting decision on Elon Musk's part. But he has since replaced them with people who were on his previous executive boards at different companies like Tesla. He's also fired people from the legal department and a couple of other people who were a part of the development team, in which, you know, 50% of people, quite a lot of people. So there's like a lot of variety of who was doing what and jobs being let go from the Twitter company. And that's a really big decision on his part, since most of them were really integral to kind of like creating Twitter to be a platform that was popular among a lot of people and like had these roles there. But many people at Twitter are justifiably scared about who's going to get laid off next and have no idea what to expect from Musk generally. I think there was a story about how they hosted a Halloween party right after he had fired the execs, and everybody was kind of like huddling and crying because they didn't know what to expect next, who was going to get laid off, how they were going to survive once they got laid off, and like what they were going to do after Twitter, which like thinking about it is just heartbreaking moment, you know. But otherwise, layoffs and resignations are still continuing as we record this episode. We'll probably expect to see more as the month goes on. But you can imagine how workers are both unhappy with the situation and how the public is perceiving the company's sudden switch. In fact, Musk has faced so much pressure that instead of the immediate layoffs he planned a couple of weeks ago in October, he opted to wait till after November 1st, which is when many workers were promised their bonuses. And the immediate layoff that he was considering doing is a layoff without the workers getting the bonuses that they were promised, in which it would be financial constraint for some, maybe not others, but it's still like in their contract, which is grounds for lawsuits from those employees. But on that note, the other reason why this is such a nightmare is because the legal team and HR at Twitter have continually warned Musk of the lawsuits from former employees that they could get if he continued to lay off workers at the speed that he's going. To which he responded, Musk responded, that he has dealt with lawsuits before and has paid the repercussions, so he's not worried about any of the lawsuits that he might get from laying off workers. But now that he's faced with lawsuits, how he can deal with the repercussions is becoming more and more foggy and might or might not be changing his plans with how he decides to lay off workers going forward. The other controversial policy was how he required users to pay for verification status. The main problem with that initially is that he did not require users to verify their actual identity, which resulted in many fake accounts being created and a lot of damage being caused. Among the more notable accounts that were being created included people like former President Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Mario from Nintendo, and also the pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly. So the biggest one that you've probably heard, one that's like all over TikTok right now, is probably with the big pharma company Eli Lilly. So users posed as Eli Lilly on Twitter tweeted that insulin was now free, which caused Eli Lilly stock to drop dramatically. It's estimated that the company potentially lost billions of dollars. But again, for clarification, this is just speculation. We don't know how much of the losses were attributed to the tweet. A similar situation also happened with Lockheed Martin, where Twitter users posing as the company tweeted that they were stopping arms sales to certain countries, in which it also caused their stock to drop after that tweet. But again, correlation is still a little fuzzy, but a lot of users think that this is like very much correlated with how the company stocks are doing. In terms of like what they say on Twitter and what they plan to do, quote unquote, plan to do, since these are fake accounts. Other than that, all of these incidents have since caused Twitter to remove the verification payment requirement, or at least like plan to remove it. I think this was like an article from 2 days ago. We'll see what actually happens with that whole deal, but for sure they are now going to check like who the people are, whether or not they are the actual person that they claim to be to get the verification status. And it's also like caused them to be very cautious in terms of like who they give verification status to, which makes a lot of sense because previously verification status is not like monetary based, but it is how users have found like real accounts of people who are the actual people they're talking about, who are like famous and well-known and not like just a fake account or like a spam or bot account. Among other big concerns for Twitter is how they're going to offset their debt and recover from drum roll, probably heard this so many other times, but the effect of COVID on their company. So, but because of recent business decisions and an unclear plan for what they're going to do to recover, they haven't been able to make too much progress on recovering their profits. Musk has even left open the option of filing for bankruptcy, which would be bad for both Twitter and for its employees, more so for the employees currently working there, but also still bad reflection on Twitter as a company. But do with that information what you will. Whether he's actually going to file for bankruptcy, we'll see, but he has left the option open. So there are other controversies with how Musk has ran Twitter in the past month or so, some of which we are not allowed to discuss in detail due to YouTube information restrictions, but you can imagine how Twitter has been faring in the credibility department based on the decision that Musk has made. And I'm sure like you keep up with Twitter, since all of our viewers, I think, have social media and have like Twitter, or at least we know some definitely do. So you could probably see what he plans to do regarding like information being released on Twitter by the tweets that he's posted. Other than that, if I keep continuing, this episode will be hours longer. So I will just stop there. But yeah, a lot of things happening at the company, when you say so, Spencer.
I would definitely say so. And I think before we get into the question, you kind of bring up an interesting point. I saw this the other day, right? About filing for bankruptcy. So there are occasions in which, like, for the most part, bankruptcy, for people who don't know, because this doesn't get talked about a lot in Extemp, but might, considering that this is a big news story right now, filing for bankruptcy typically looks really bad to the public. In some occasions, for the business, it can actually be very good. And that's kind of the point, that's kind of like a point that should be mentioned. It's a great point that you brought up, right? Is like, it looks bad for Twitter and for its employees, right? You don't want the company to file for bankruptcy. That's the last thing that you want to do. But if the company needs to, filing for bankruptcy is very, very good for it. Because I might want to be recorrected on this, but I believe he would file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which if he would, and part of what that's going to do is it's going to wipe away its debts. And that is kind of part of the reason why you would want to file for bankruptcy, is because it gives you this better, it gives you this better chance. You, if you can look that up for me and tell me if I'm wrong, and we'll say it later. But essentially, like, filing for bankruptcy is not the end of the world for Musk. If he wanted to do that, right, it would actually be good for the business. It would be good for Musk. It just looks bad from the public point of view, even though it's sometimes actually the best way to do that. In the meantime, I will move on to the question. Maybe while Yu, I don't know if Yu is looking this up or not, but Yu is looking this up. Okay. I'll go ahead and start with the question here. The question is, how will Elon Musk's reorganization of Twitter affect the company's operations? So as we have discussed, and this is more like aligned with Yu's section, we're talking a little bit about, like, it's not just, I think you have to kind of make your determination about what do we mean by reorganization, right? Are we talking about the executives? I think most people would think about the executives on this question, but you can also mention that this is firing employees, right? This is laying off 50% of the company's employees, right? At the end of the day, I think for the most part, this is based off of the executives. And truthfully, I think the reorganization of Twitter is, like, how it will affect the company's operations is more so, like, operating towards more of Musk's vision, right? Musk basically has made claims that you can run Twitter without as many employees as it has, right? And that's one of the reasons why you have this massive layoff, right? Reorganizing Twitter will affect the company's operations to adhere more to Musk's vision of where he wants to go with the company. Now, whether that's positive or negative is kind of besides the point, I think, with this question. You can mention how it can be negative because potentially reorganization to the company's operations of maybe going towards an online banking initiative, for example, is a pretty bad thing because it's very complex and expensive, so you're going to have to hire more people anyway. So there is that one part to it. It could be positive because maybe Musk has ways of making it more efficient, and the people at the top of the new executives that he has will lead to a lot more beneficial. It could be a lot more beneficial as he figures out how he wants to put it all together, right? Obviously, I think it affecting the company's operations, this is more specific to towards going to Musk's vision of how he wants to go with the future of the future of Twitter. So I think this is a relatively simple question. That answer is easy. But I think it's more of like affecting the company's operations. He wants to go with his vision.
Yeah, I think like for this question, I can answer Spencer's question of looking up like how Elon Musk would file for bankruptcy. And it does look like what is estimated is that he will refinance his debt. And like part of the issue of that is like he both overpaid for Twitter when he like bought the deal. It's still like a $44 billion deal. But another part of that is he cashed in some of his Tesla stocks, which means that he is in quite a bit of debt. And the obligation to kind of pay off that debt is looking to be like $1 billion annually, which is a lot for the size of Twitter, you know, because still not that big of a company. I don't think they could like finance the $1 billion annual debt. But that is something that he does have to consider. And that's why he's leaving open the idea of bankruptcy, because it would be a good way for him to wipe off the debts, like refinance his debts in a way where he gets rid of that debt and is able to kind of like bounce back from that. However, with that being said, I think it ties into this question of like Elon Musk's reorganization of Twitter affecting the company's operations. I think part of it deals with like his firing of workers, laying off people who have been there, who know the company's model well, and how that kind of plays into effect of how Twitter is dealing with their finances and Twitter is dealing with like how their business is being ran. And so like, of course, if you fire your chief financial officer and the person who knows kind of how Twitter is being managed, like financially, like the economic side of things, it's going to be harder for you to make those like smarter financial decisions for Twitter to bounce back. And that kind of like how that piece of information would come into play with this question. But that's kind of like a roundabout way of answering the question. I agree with most of what Spencer has talked about in terms of like the reorganization of Twitter post Musk, or not post Musk, post Musk buying Twitter. But I do think that like other things that you could talk about here is like, for example, just generally his inability to have like a clear plan or clear answers for some of the employees that are working there. It seems like he wants to create this environment of like positivity and like team bonding within Twitter itself, but that hasn't really been coming into fruition with kind of the employment model that he has adopted, in which he said in order to recover from everything that is happening with Twitter, he wouldn't mind if people kind of like worked harder. I don't know the exact quote, but it is in one of the articles that we have linked in our description. But by working harder, he potentially means that they should put in more hours, work from home, so like remote jobs in which you can't separate like your personal from your work life. But other than that, like he's also talked about how if you are not like a hard worker, then maybe you're not right and fit for Twitter, in which causing more layoffs to happen. I will make a side note here that like the reason why layoffs are happening is so that he can make Twitter run for cheaper so that he doesn't have like as much labor costs. But I think another thing to note here is that it seems like Twitter is making most of its like money back from advertisements, is what I read from the article too. So very roundabout way of kind of connecting everything together, but like how they're dealing with their finances / how they're dealing with their employees is a big part in how Twitter has become reorganized and how it has affected their business negatively.
So quick correction, Yu-Yu, just because I had to look it up. Yu-Yu mentioned that Elon Musk wants people to work from home. He doesn't. The exact quote from Musk is, "Remote work is no longer allowed unless if you have a specific exemption. Managers will send the exception list to me for review and approval." This was first reported by Bloomberg a couple of days ago at this point. But basically, he doesn't want people to work from home because he thinks people will work harder in the office. I think that's kind of where he wants to go. I believe he almost, I can't remember the exact way he phrased it, but there's another quote that says something along the lines of you have to return to the office or your resignation is accepted, kind of way that, which is not a good way to phrase anything if you're a boss, but besides the point. Talking about work life a lot in this episode, huh? But yeah, he essentially, remote work probably won't be happening with Twitter anymore. Now, make what you want out of that. Partly because, like, there could be some benefits for that. Honestly, because working from home, like, this is now very anecdotal, but I find working from home to be like not particularly fun, which make what you want out of that, right? Like, I think it's good to work from home if you have to, right? Because of certain restrictions, because of what has happened, right? I believe we're in an environment where working from home should be more accepted, right? But I also think it's kind of dependent on the people, right? Make what you want out of work from home. Let us know what you think. But honestly, it's kind of really interesting where he's trying to go. I think kind of to bring it back to the question a little bit, because you may be able to say reorganization in Twitter as if how people are working at Twitter, right? Okay, spinning the question a little bit. When you work at Twitter, right, you have to work in person, right? Could that affect the company's operations because it could have less employees because the Rona gets spread quite a bit, right? And maybe people get sick. Maybe it causes more people to be out of the office at given times, right? Hey, that can affect the company's operations. What does that do, right? So lots of questions to be had here. And there's some really good evidence on this, once again, for specific YouTube guidelines. I have to keep my mouth shut on some of them. Because one of the things that is also becoming worrisome is the misinformation about the Rona. So we gotta also have to be sort of careful about that. But nonetheless, it is really important to think about that too when we're making this discussion. Because working at work, right, is much different than working at home. But that does go to a good point, though, that Yu-Yu makes, right? Just jumping off of that and bouncing, adding some ideas, you know. Typically, you do this in discussions for extemp. Hopefully, you do it in your groups when you are talking about current events every week and you guys are throwing brainstorming ideas, coming up with ideas, how you tackle certain topics, you know. Good ways to learn in this event. That's kind of the purpose of this.
Okay, then. yeah, I think that, like, there's definitely changes that have been happening in terms of, like, what Musk wants for Twitter, how he's going to, like, run his business, how he's going to make up his debts. But we will see in the coming, I guess, year Whether or not Twitter is going to come crashing down. I mean, people have already been switching to different social media platforms. I think there's like a popular one, Matrodon or something like that. Forgot the name, but it starts with an M. And a lot of people have been switching over from Twitter to that other social media company because it does not want to do what Elon Musk wants to do with Twitter, which is turn it into a banking platform. So yeah, I don't have anything else to add.
I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens. And partly one of the, I think a lot of the reason why everybody got really interested in it is because billionaire buys a company, right? But billionaire buys a really specific company that has a pretty big influence and has a lot to go with it, right? I'm not moving away from Twitter anytime soon. I don't know of anybody that really is. Like I know popular people are, like they're, there's a couple of really popular music artists that are just like, I'm out, I'm done, right? Like, they don't want anything to do with it, right? And also, Elon Musk is not always the greatest person when he posts on Twitter, to make that mention. Any day you want to, go ahead and take a look at his Twitter account, because it's very public and very visible. But I think it will be really interesting to see what he does with the business going forward. Because honestly, he might actually have good ideas, right? And Twitter may be really cool to see in the future, right? I'm a tech person. I always love seeing new tech stuff, right? And I think the idea of an online banking platform on Twitter, which has been discussed for quite some time, it'd be kind of cool to see it and see if it actually works, right? Just my thoughts. Hey, but nonetheless, I don't have anything else on that point.
I don't want a social media banking platform. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope you get in the one in the round. If you don't, let us know how you did. Let us know how we did. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to message us on our social media platforms, on Instagram and YouTube. And I guess Twitter, because we also have it. Anyway, follow us if you haven't already at the Half Hour Extend podcast on both Instagram and Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at the Half Hour. Don't forget to also ring the bell when you subscribe so that you're notified whenever we post an episode. We post earlier on our YouTube channel. So if you want to get earlier content, we're on YouTube. But also support OneClap because they're an amazing platform and a great speech and debate resource. Other than that, please, please, please feel free to contact us whenever you would like. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you all for bearing with us and our irregular upload schedule. We love you. See you in the next episode.
Hopefully things are getting better, because they definitely are. I think we've been recording a lot more recently, so that is a good thing. So we're going to try to keep it going. Okay, hopefully the editing is also going well. That's been kind of maybe our downside, but besides the point. Anyway, thank you all so much for watching, and until next time, we will see you all later.